God is good. And all the time. And that is his nature. Welcome to Holy Spirit Catholic Church. Father Sylvester will celebrate Mass with us. Today is the 19th Sunday of Ordinary Time. The Mass intention today is for the people of the parish. The Solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary is a holy day of obligation and will be celebrated by Father Ignatius on August 14th at 7 p.m. at St. Edward and August 15th at 9 a.m. here at Holy Spirit. On August 14th, all parishioners are also called to help prepare lunches for over 150 kids each day for the summer lunch program. Contact Marcia Moore to help. Registration for the 25-26 religious education year at Holy Spirit Parish is now open. For more information, there's a QR code on page 4 of the bulletin. Catholic Daughters of the Americas is hosting a mum sale as a fundraiser. Each mum is $25. Pre-order your mum by contacting either Anita Studer or Sue O'Brien, or you can sign up at the back of the church. Feel a calling to serve at Mass? You might be a great lector proclaiming God's word to the community, or a compassionate Eucharistic minister sharing Holy Communion with your brothers and sisters. Perhaps you prefer to quietly help set up before Mass as a sacristan. If any of these ministries resonate with you, please sign up in the back of the church. We will provide all the training and resources you need to get started. We especially are in need of more Sunday morning sacristans. Paint lines will be redone at Holy Spirit main parking lot next week, Monday through Thursday. Please avoid parking in the main lot during this time.
Please stand and join us for our opening hymn. Number 562, For You Are My God, number 562.
Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
Good evening to you all.
Amen.
Welcome to church, dear people of God, as we gather together to celebrate God with the Mass of the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Let us now, dear people of God, prepare ourselves worthily for this Mass as we reconcile ourselves with God and with each other in calling to mind our sins, trusting in faith that the Lord will show you and I and all of us mercy. You were sent to heal the contrite of heart. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
You came to call all sinners to repentance. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
You continue to plead for us. at the right hand of your Father in heaven. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
And may Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, and bring us all to life everlasting.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace on earth, peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, heavenly King, O God, almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world. Receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us, for you
glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to people of goodwill. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, whom taught by the Holy Spirit we dare to call our Father, bring, we pray, to perfection in our hearts the spirit of adoption as your sons and daughters, that we may merit to enter into the inheritance which you have promised. This we ask of you through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. How clever. The night of the Passover was known beforehand to our fathers, that with sure knowledge of the oath in which they put their faith, they might have courage. Your people awaited the salvation of the just and the destruction of their foes. For when you punished our adversaries, in this you glorified us whom you had summoned. For in secret the holy children of the good were offering sacrifice and putting into effect with one accord the divine institution. The word of the Lord.
Blessed the people the Lord.
reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Because of it, the ancients were well attested. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was to go. By faith, he sojourned in the promised land as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and maker is God. By faith, he received power to generate, even though he was past the normal age. And Sarah herself was sterile, for he thought that the one who had made the promise was trustworthy. So it was that there came forth from one man, himself as good as dead, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore. All these died in faith. They did not receive what had been promised, but saw it and greeted it from afar, and acknowledged themselves to be strangers and aliens on earth. For those who speak thus show that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had come, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better homeland, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was ready to offer his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac descendants shall bear your name." He reasoned that God was able to raise even from the dead, and he received Isaac back as a symbol. The word of the Lord.
Going to read this shorter version of the gospel. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen. I say to you, he will gird himself, have the servants recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, that if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord. What are you doing here? Oh my goodness, all the way. You came to see my face. Oh my goodness. I just left, my previous assignment was pastor of Clarinda, Bedford, and Villisca. So they were regular faces. So all the way, welcome. You have any connection with Creston? Really? Oh my goodness, nice. So you see, you're so nice people. You have people coming in to see you. Anyway, it's good to see you again. So dear people of God, on this 19th Sunday, we are presented with very interesting readings, particularly the second reading, which talks about faith. Faith is the foundation of who we are as Christians. Without faith, there will be no Christianity, and we can't even begin to imagine what salvation looks like. And that is why the author of the letter to the Hebrews defines what faith is in a very interesting and profound manner. He says faith is the conviction of things not seen and the assurances of things hoped for. So it means that in life, there are certain things that cannot be seen, but that we cannot see those things does not mean they don't exist. And that is why he speaks about having conviction in things not seen and also having assurances in things that are hoped for. Now, God is not a thing. God is a being. God is alive. And God is part of those beings, or God, not may not say part of those beings, but God is a being in whom we are called to be convinced about. Though we cannot see God, but God exists, for God is. When you read further down the second reading, when you go home, read it, because the whole of chapter 11 is about faith and how many of the ancient fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Enoch, many of them, the whole of chapter 11 is about them. And when you come to verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, there is also another important point that the author makes, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For anyone who believes in God or anyone who comes to God must believe that he is. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he is. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Now, oftentimes people struggle with faith, and it's a human thing to struggle with faith. It's human. It's necessarily not a sin. But you see, oftentimes I encourage people that even before we begin to talk about God, life itself is about faith. Because we express faith even without realizing it. When people say they don't believe in God, I laugh. It is difficult to really say there is you don't believe in God or you don't believe in anything. You may not affirm God as God. But somehow, life unfolds for you and I in ways that we express faith without realizing it. Every morning that you and I wake up, we express faith. And that is why our legs are willing to get off the bed and hit the floor, because we have faith that the floor will be there. The floor is not gone. That's the first thing. Why do we wake up and we don't stay up in bed? But we hit the floor. Our legs must touch the floor because we know that the floor is there. And then we can stand and begin the day. That is faith. You walk into the supermarket or into any mall, you pick up something from the shelf, something you did not manufacture, something you have no idea where the materials come from. You pick it up, you pay for it, you don't have to open it because we are not allowed to, and you go home. Let us assume that it's some maybe pack of oats, for instance, and you pay for it, you drive all the way home, and you open it, and you have the faith that what is in it will be what? Will be oat and not sand. That is faith. So faith is not only about believing in God. We get, for instance, I like to use the flight with a whole lot of flight disasters that have unfolded, unfortunately, since this year started in different parts of the world. Plane crashes here and there. It's beginning to kind of make air travel a little scary. But regardless, people are still flying. A flight vessel that none of us made, sometimes you may not be lucky to see the pilot. Maybe he's already in the cockpit. Sometimes you might see him. And even when you see him, when you're trying to take your seat, you only see in the back because he's already in there. That's if the cockpit is open. You have no idea if this pilot is okay, whether he has taken some alcohol or not. But you get in. And you trust that that flight is going to take off and it's going to land. And you tell your loved one, see you later. I will call you when I arrive. That is faith. And boom, you arrive. Nothing happens. That is faith. When we tell someone, have a good week, that is faith. that we know we're going to live through the week, even when it does not depend on us. So, even before we talk about God, in various ways, dear people of God, we express faith in different things. How much more then should we continue to express our faith in God? And that is why the second reading is put together. To say, hey, even before your time, people like Abraham, one of the earliest migrants in human history, believed in God, trusted God, had faith enough to the point where God will ask a 75-year-old man, leave your familiar village, your town, where you have grown up for 75 years, gather your possession and leave to an unknown destination where I will show you. God didn't name the place. There was no GPS, there was no map, there was no human compass. Sometimes I often wonder how Abraham was able to convince Sarah, his wife, and all his servants, because he had servants. What did he really say, especially to the wife? I mean, if you're a woman, your husband comes and says, hey, we are leaving tomorrow. And the first question is going to be, to where? And you say, to where God will show us, to an unknown destination. That would not make much sense. You would think your husband is gone crazy. But Abraham did it and followed God. God became that compass. And they were able to find themselves in Canaan. Now, much later in his old age, we know Abraham and Sarah had challenges with fertility. They couldn't have a child. Even in old age, God promised that Abraham was going to have a child. Now, how that was going to happen, no one knows or knew. But they believed and they trusted. And even in old age, Sarah was able to conceive and have a child. We can go on and on beyond Abraham, even to the Israelites themselves. That's why the first reading is about the Passover, when God promised his people that he was going to liberate them from slavery in Egypt. The details were not there. The details were not clear. But in due time, God did. And so today, the first reading is taking us back through the book of wisdom to how God promised that he would save his people, and he saved them in due time. And this is why the gospel reading is also important. Jesus talks about coming again. Jesus wants us to believe that if God had promised that he would send his son in himself, and he came, and today we continue to celebrate Christmas year in, year out, the God who came will also be able to come again. And that is why Jesus says, hey, trust, be faithful, for I who came, I will come again. And be prepared, because I will come at a time and at an hour you do not expect. And so faith is kind of expressed in so many ways. And that's why each time, dear people of God, I go into any church and I see you all, I have a lot of respect, sincerely speaking, for all of you, especially as senior folks, those of you who are in your 90s, in your 80s, 70s, 60s, 50s. I'm 45 years, but many of you are older because you've done this for many years. If it did not make meaning, you would not be here. There are many people who don't find meaning in going to church anymore. But you are here. There are people who are drinking away in some restaurant or bar somewhere, but you have left all of that, those kind of things. They are good things. It will make you feel happy and cheer you up. But you have come to the church. Maybe you're going to go back to that, which is okay, but you're here. Your faith has brought you to say, God, thank you. And you've been doing this for many years. You've raised your children who are now adults, your grandchildren. You've raised them in the faith. You had them baptized. You make them receive their first Eucharist. Many of them are even wedded today in church and all of that. Your faith has continued. It is something we cannot take for granted. And I believe it's because you found meaning in it. Oftentimes when I address young people, teenagers, adolescents, young adults, especially when I meet those ones who say they are no longer going to church, I don't talk much. I say, okay, do you have your parents? They say yes. Do they go to church? They say yes. I say, okay, go back. Ask your mom or your dad or your grandparents. Why do they go to church? I believe you will be able to give them a better answer than myself, because you've done this for several years, especially those who are older. You'll be able to tell your kid or your grandkid why you have been a Catholic, why you have been a Christian, why you have been doing so many things for God, even sometimes when no one thanks you enough for those things. Your faith continues to bring you before God. Even in the midst of chaos, in the midst of uncertainties, even in the midst of some of the things that go wrong in our church, which is frustrating, but you have not left. Because you have the conviction in things that you hope for, and you have assurances in answers that you're yet to get. And so let that faith continue. We may not have all the answers, because faith is about staying on even when we don't have all the details. That is faith. And like I said, life continues to put us in that. Even for those of you who are married, when you choose to say, I'm going to take you as my husband or take you as my wife, you didn't know what the future would be. It's possible that your husband could have become the grandson of the devil at some point, or your wife become the granddaughter of Jezebel. But you had faith in each other that you're going to make this work. And for several years down the road, you're still together. And I see all of you sitting together. And from your youthful age, you have grown together into where you are today. That is how it is with God. And so our faith calls us not into mere practice, but into a relationship with God. That is what faith is about. Faith is a relationship, not a practice. Because if it's a practice, then we are just checking boxes. We are not in church to practice our faith. We are in church to relate with God. And if it's a relationship, Christianity, Catholicism becomes a way of life. And that is why all of us can choose to remain in the midst of so many things, because we have an unshakable relationship with God. And when you speak about a relationship, it comes with so many things, responsibilities, duties, and all of that. And what that does is that it creates a bond. You're here because you have sustained a huge bond, an unbreakable bond, a strong bond between you and God. And that's why you have a reason to continue to come in and to serve God and to worship God. And there is a reward. That's the whole essence of the second reading. That faith is not for nothing. This relationship is not for nothing. It's going to end in something. And that is eternal life. And that is what Jesus is coming back to give all of us, which is why he tells us, though he's coming back at a day, at an hour we do not expect, but he's coming back to reward our faith, our relationship with salvation. And we need to trust that. We may not have all the details. Just like Abraham did not have all the details about where he was moving to. He didn't have all the details as to how he was going to conceive and get a son, himself and Sarah, in old age. But it happened. The Virgin Mary didn't have all the details about how she was going to become the mother of Jesus. But it happened. And recall what the angel said, nothing is impossible to God. So how salvation is going to unfold, you and I do not know, but it's going to happen. And so when Jesus comes, we will all see how it's going to unfold. So let's keep our faith going. Sometimes we face challenges. Like I said, even the challenge, the crisis of faith itself, holding on to God when we don't have all the answers, when things go wrong, go tough, and all of that. But let's keep our faith intact. For it is through that same faith that we can be saved, and nothing more. If we can have faith in people, have faith in our politicians, have faith in our system, in our country, how much more God that guarantees all of these things and holds it in place? Because God is the source of everything that we have in creation. So faith, and let's pray for more faith. It's something to think about. Let's pray. Let's not take it for granted, because for you and I, we have it as a gift. Not everyone has it. So the little gift of faith we have, let's ask God to expand that faith and to increase it, and to help you and I share this faith with others who are struggling. There are people who are struggling. And God depends on us who have this faith to also share with them and not kind of belittle them. Let's be open to share our faith and to encourage others to come into this relationship that we have with God already. May God bless us all as we continue to share our faith, as we continue to express our faith, and as we continue to live out our faith in the different ways that we do. And ultimately, may God bless us with the gift of salvation and eternal life. Amen. Please rise. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. Rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and of the life of the world to come. Amen. Dear people of God, our faith draws us together before God. Through the same faith, let us now unite our prayers and intentions with those that the church has put together on our behalf.
For the protection and the building up of the church wherever she is persecuted, and that the peace of Christ bring an end to all violent conflict in the world, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the strengthening of marriage and family life, and for those preparing for marriage, that the Lord will fill them with virtue and a love that endures all things, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who serve our country in the armed forces, that God may bless them and keep them out of harm's way, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That those who suffer may experience the redemptive meaning of suffering through union with Jesus Christ, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who are unemployed, that God may keep them from discouragement and enable them to secure good jobs, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the people of our parish family for whom we offer this Mass, that they will follow the faithful example of Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the souls in purgatory may be freed and enter into the glory of heaven, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That all those who struggle in different ways with their faith in God and in their way of life as Christians, and those who belong to other religions, that the Lord would grant them light, direction, and peace. Let us pray to the Lord. Mighty God, look lovingly upon us as our faith has inspired us to make our prayers to you. In your mercy, listen to us, your people, and grant us your divine help and strength through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The ushers will now take up the collection for the support of our parish. Thank you for your continued generosity.
Our offertory hymn is number 386, The Servant's Song, number 386.
I may have the grace to let you be.
Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received this bread which we now offer you. The bread that earth has given and human hands have made will become for us the bread of life. Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received this wine which we now offer you. Fruit of the vine and work of human hands, let it become for us all our spiritual drink. Blessed be God forever. Dear sisters and brothers, let us now pray together that our sacrifice may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Amen. Be pleased, O Lord, to accept the offerings of your people and of your church, for in your mercy you have given them to be offered, and by your power transform them into the mystery of our salvation. We ask you this through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, and it is indeed our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you loved the world, that in your mercy you sent us the Redeemer to live like us in all things but sin, so that you might love in us what you loved in your Son, by whose obedience we have all been restored to those gifts of yours that through our disobedience we had once lost. And so, Lord, with all the angels and the saints, we now give you thanks, and with one voice we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray you, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving you thanks, he gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. The mystery of faith.
When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again.
Therefore, as we now celebrate the memorial of his death and his resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of eternal salvation, giving thanks to you that you have held us all worthy to be in your presence and to minister to you. Humbly we pray that by partaking of the body and blood of Christ, that we all may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Lord, remember your church spread throughout the world and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Leo XIV, our Pope, and with William, our Bishop, with all the clergy and the religious, and all your people. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them, Lord, we pray, into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, may we all merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and so praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, and with him, and in him. O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen, amen, amen.
As people full of faith, let us now be drawn by our faith as we call God Father together, praying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us all from evil. Amen.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace to us all in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we now await the blessed hope and the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, I leave you peace, my peace I give unto you. Look not, O Lord, upon our sins, but look upon the total faith and commitment of your holy church, and graciously grant to your church and to all your people peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with
your spirit. Let us now share with each other the sign of peace.
Lamb of God.
Dear people of God, behold Jesus, the Lamb of God who is broken to take away the sins of the world. Happy indeed are all of us who are invited to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Please join us in singing our communion hymn, number 572, You Are Near, number 572.
Let us pray. May the communion in your sacrament that we have consumed save us, O Lord, and confirm us in the light of your truth. We ask you this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. May Almighty God bless you all and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear people of God, this Mass is ended. Let us go in the peace and love of Christ. And thank you all for being here. Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you.
Our closing song is number 569, How Can I Keep From Singing? Number 569.